Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
So before jumping into an episode about how to transition to barefoot shoes, I thought it was only fitting to talk about Vivo Barefoot Shoes, which is one of our podcast sponsors. They've been with us for forever, and it is because Jen and I exclusively wear Vivo Barefoot Shoes every day for just about everything. And when we talk about transition, I'm somebody who has a really high, rigid arch and rigid foot, and that's the type of foot people tend to say, oh, you need to have a cushion shoe, you need to have a thick sole to help your foot. But in reality, I found the exact opposite. The more cushioned shoe I wore, the less able my foot became in being able to accept the ground, being able to run barefoot. Yes, the transition was a little tough. I needed to take my time and go slowly and progress slowly, especially when it came to running or doing high impact activities. But the reality is that wearing barefoot shoes shows, and there's evidence that shows this, it will naturally grow the strength and naturally grow the mobility in your foot and in your toes that you need to effectively move barefoot. And I don't know about you, but I feel a lot more comfortable being barefoot around the home or being able to go outside barefoot without having to worry about foot pains or without having to worry about not feeling confident that my feet are going to be able to handle that. And that's why we recommend Vivo Barefoot Shoes for everybody, understanding that the transition might be slightly different for everyone. So if you want to grab your first pair or get a different pair for a different type of activity, again, they have walking shoes, running shoes, workout shoes, shoes for water or for hiking or for dress up, boots. They have just about everything that you could want that come with those same barefoot benefits. So if you go down to the link in the show notes, make sure you use code OPTIMAL20 at checkout, and that's going to get you 20% off your entire order of regularly priced shoes. So get barefoot and start enjoying those barefoot benefits today. All right, let's get into the episode. Diving in today to one of our arguably favorite topics, the feet, and talking about
what a lot of people think, at least
barefoot shoes, but not, I mean, any specific shoe. People probably know, especially if you listen to the podcast, we wear Vivo barefoot shoes, but we want to talk about transitioning into barefoot shoes because there are so many people that will reach out to us and say, oh, these are the current types of shoes I wear, or I wear orthotics, can I wear barefoot shoes, or I have this, you know, foot diagnosis, mm-hmm. whether it's bunions, painful bunions, plantar fasciitis, Achilles tendonitis. Would barefoot shoes work for me? Would barefoot shoes help me?
Right. And especially if you've heard us talk about it so much, it's probably something that sparked your attention, right? Oh, I want to get into these. I hear so many people talking about them. Yeah. I hear so many, whatever it is that you're hearing, we want to make sure that we're bringing not only a scientific approach based on what the research says, but also a personal approach, because obviously we understand this transition, especially if people are walking around their home not being barefoot. There's so many people who are truly putting their feet either in tight socks, or you're wearing slippers, or you're wearing house shoes, and then you go outside and you're wearing shoes, you go to the gym, you're wearing shoes, you're running outside. Like, your feet are always in a different type of environment rather than being barefoot. So there should be a transition.
Yeah. And I mean, we didn't always wear barefoot shoes. You know, we wore conventional footwear for most of our lives because we've really only been wearing barefoot shoes for the past 5-ish years, ever since we were introduced to Vivo Barefoot. And it wasn't always easy. It wasn't always peachy when we would try doing certain things in those shoes early on. We noticed, oh, this is different. This is different than what my feet are used to or what my feet are comfortable with. So we would almost expect, if you've never worn barefoot shoes or if you're someone like Jen just mentioned that's always in some sort of footwear, being barefoot more often or wearing barefoot shoes might come with those growing pains. And that is expected and that is okay. It just means that we need to more thoughtfully transition and progressively transition into wearing them.
Now, as we talk about the transition into barefoot shoes, I think we also have to talk about the transition into electrolytes, because it is a hot conversation, but for a lot of people, you might not know where and when you should be adding it in. Now, we have to understand that electrolytes help in healthy hydration, because it's not just about drinking water, but it's about optimally being hydrated. But being optimally hydrated is about optimizing your body's fluid ratios. And that fluid balance depends on many factors, including an intake and excretion of electrolytes. And electrolytes are charged minerals that conduct electricity and power your nervous system. They also regulate hydration status by balancing fluids inside and outside of our cells. Now, Element, and why we have been using this for over 2 years now, and why I truly cannot go a day without it, it's formulated with a science-backed electrolyte ratio, 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, and 60 milligrams of magnesium. Now, if those numbers are scaring you, here's what I recommend. I started by using one full packet of Element in a 40-ounce bottle of water. So one of my full water jugs I would use with one packet, because sometimes putting in a smaller glass for a lot of people can be a startling, you know, place to start. If you do have a smaller bottle or smaller glass of water, just put half a packet. But you will notice as you start to add this into your day, especially if you're optimizing, you know, not getting as much processed food in your life, you're moving a lot more, you're sweating, you're working out, and you just want more of that energy to be maintained throughout the day without reaching for that other cup of coffee, this is where I would highly, highly recommend getting Element. Now, you can head to the link in our show notes or just go to drinkelement.com/optimal. That's D-R-I-N-K, drink. Element, LMNT.com/optimal. And you're going to get a free sample pack to explore all the different flavors that they have available when you check out. Now, I personally love the raspberry salt. It's always been a huge, like the one that I typically go to, but citrus is also really good. But trying some of the other ones, I mean, I'm telling you, you're going to be addicted and it's going to help you to actually be hydrating more throughout the day. So go get Element. And I will say you're here and here. There's, yes, we're PTs, but I have more of a flatter arch, a flatter, more flexible foot, where Dom has more of a higher, stiffer arch, yes, which I would say has improved over time. But think of it like you're going to hear it from two different foot perspectives as well, where I will say I have a slight advantage because I was in a sport that I was barefoot all the time,
yeah.
Right? So I was a gymnast. I grew up being barefoot and running and loading on
barefoot feet.
Your toes
already spread beautifully, right. And your feet look great. My feet look...
Where you grew up in a sport.
Interesting.
You grew up in a sport that really hugged your feet. So, you know, yeah. I think we also have to put that into perspective as well.
I mean, it was funny, even I had a major foot injury when I was in high school, and they imaged both of my feet. And I remember the orthopedist was looking at the image of my unaffected foot, my uninjured foot, and he's like, what is going on here? Because the bones in from my heel to my metatarsal joint was literally like the Golden Gate Bridge. It was like, not the Golden Gate Bridge.
A rainbow.
The St. Louis Arch.
Oh, yes.
It looked so high of an arch that he thought something was wrong. I was like, nope, that's just my normal foot structure,
right,
as it is now. But let's get into it a little bit. Like, what are barefoot shoes, or what would be considered barefoot shoes? Because I think there's a few different components, and there's a variety out there of what people would consider barefoot shoes or minimalist footwear. And I think some of the components that we look for are what would be called zero drop.
Yeah.
So most conventional footwear has like a quarter or a half inch cushion in the heel that essentially raises your heel up. And zero drop shoes have, it's the same height of cushion or sole, because we don't really want a ton of cushion in minimalist shoes from the heel to the forefoot. They're also going to have, like I just mentioned, a very thin bottom. So all the way from Vivos, which is like cardboard thin, you know, you really don't have a lot in the sole, two other varieties of shoes that might have a little bit of a sole to give you a little more cushion. Not even cushion, but a little more structure. We're looking for a flexible bottom. You know, that's something that...
I think you can like roll up.
Yeah, something you could literally take the shoe and roll it up in a, like a towel. Because that's going to allow our foot to move how it's supposed to versus conventional shoes that are pretty stiff. They might bend a little bit, you know, where the toes are supposed to bend up, but the rest of the shoe's not going to move a whole lot. And then the last component we're looking for is a wider area for the toes. One of the recent guests we had on was talking about how your foot should be the widest from at the toes, from the point of your big toe to your pinky toe. And if you look at conventional shoes, that's where the shoe starts to get the narrowest.
Right, exactly. So, you know, and then we're going to talk about some of the studies that we found where people are wearing minimalist shoes and what they're really finding. But I think what's really interesting, after 10 weeks in one of the studies of running in barefoot shoes, there was a significant increase in the foot intrinsic muscle zone. So your intrinsic, think of like, if you look at your hand, the muscles and that are in the palm of your hand that connect up into the fingers, allow your fingers to spread and open and move. Those are the intrinsic foot muscles that we're talking about on the inside of the foot. Okay. And they compared those to running in traditional shoes. And what they found is that they're significantly looking at the abductor hollicis muscle. So this is the muscle that is connecting into the big toe and allows the big toe to come out.
Like your thumb, like spreading your thumb out. Our big toe should be able to do that. We've got a muscle that's dedicated to that.
Right now, look at your big toe. Can you move it out to the side, right?
And if you can't, don't be alarmed, because I can't do it that well either. And I've been working on my feet for 5+ years, and I still struggle to do that.
It's tough. But what you'll notice, if you try to at least move your big toe out to the side, or big toes toward each other, I should say, the muscle on the inside of that foot starts to really engage, and you see kind of like that arch engagement as well. And so this is like a really good indication. You want a stronger arch. Look at this muscle that needs to be working
here.
And
just after 10 weeks, they saw a 10 to 11% increase in that muscle size, which is awesome. You know, and these
That's
are
amazing.
People who are
just 10 weeks
regular runners who just suddenly popped on barefoot shoes instead of their conventional shoes. One thing that the study did mention, and I think there was an associated study that they did on this same group, is that there was a higher risk of bone edema in the foot bones, which essentially means like our bones are inflamed in a way, in the group that was wearing the barefoot shoes, which is okay. Like we mentioned at the beginning, if we suddenly make that change, it's going to be something that is very different for our feet, and they're going to be taking on more stress. And I think this points out what we're going to talk about, is that it needs to be a slow and thoughtful progression based on where your feet are at.
Exactly. And so really starting to look at your feet right now, like, what are you observing? Can you even spread and move your toes? Do you notice, you know, does your foot even move? Our foot should be able to flatten. Our foot should be able to lift and kind of move the arch. And you can even just test that out by having your feet flat on the floor, no socks, no shoes, and kind of twisting your body side to side. You should feel your foot kind of naturally going with that rotation, falling in on one foot, coming out to this outside of the other foot, while the toes and the ball of the foot kind of stay down on the floor. You know, there should be that midfoot mobility. And a lot of times we're lacking that
because of the structure
of the shoe.
That's what I still, one of my biggest restrictions is being able to flatten my foot into the ground. And that's a core function of our foot. Our foot is something that is supposed to be a rigid lever when we're pushing off of it, but then is supposed to act like a spring when we're landing on the ground, or when our foot is accepting the ground. It's supposed to offer that cushion.
Right.
And having that midfoot mobility is a core principle of being able to do both of those things.
Yeah.
And so if you're noticing, oh, I don't flatten super well, or it's hard for me to make an arch, that starts to point out this might be a place that we have room for growth.
Right. And then we want to look at too, like, can your toes even just spread down and like go onto the floor straight? Like, you can look at this in a single leg balance. So again, kick off your shoes and socks and stand on one foot and look at your toes. Do they kind of like hammer up and kind of squeeze, you know, in order to find that protection? Then we're not really stabilizing well in the bottom of the foot. That is an indication of a lack of stability and strength. You're using, you know, those other toe muscles to really kind of try to grip rather than using the stability from the bottom of the foot. Yeah. So again, those are like two quick examples. And the third one I would say is just being able to spread your toes. Spread your toes apart?
I'm going
to
add a fourth in as well, because we mentioned how most conventional shoes have that heel lift.
Yes.
Something a lot of people, myself included, will notice when they start to do more activity or even like walking, or if you ever walk up a hill in one of your first times in barefoot shoes, you'll notice your calf and your ankle feel so tight afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I would assess your ankle mobility, kind of do the calf stretch against the wall with both a straight leg and a bent leg to see essentially how flexible, what the mobility is like in our calves. Because once you lose that heel lift, you're going to be requiring your calf muscles, your gastroc and your soleus through the Achilles tendon to do a lot more work.
And just talking that through maybe can feel a little overwhelming, but that's four tests to look at. And that's four things to start to work on right now in what you can start to improve in making that transition to more barefoot shoes and a barefoot lifestyle, even just walking around more barefoot, more enjoyable for your feet. And, you know, I think it's really cool to look at how when we look at footwear history and how, you know, conventional shoes have that elevated heel and the narrow toe box, it really weakens your foot muscles.
Yeah.
And one of the studies looking at how children who habitually wear barefoot shoes or go barefoot have been shown to develop 20% wider feet compared to those who wear traditional footwear.
Yeah. And this is what I look at. I like when I see statistics like this, because a lot of people will say, oh, the morphology and development of our foot doesn't depend on footwear.
Right.
Or there's a lot of people that like to say it's so much more genetically driven than it is. But I mean, this is an example right here, and you can take it to the extreme of like foot binding. Like, of course, the environment we put our feet in is going to affect the morphology. To what extent, you know, that depends on how extreme the environment is that we're putting our feet in. But from the beginning, the environment we put our feet in matters. And this is where, looking at myself, always wearing basketball shoes, cleats, baseball spikes that were all a half size too small so that they were tighter on my feet. And that was the environment I was putting my feet in for a decade and a half.
Right.
During my, you know, the bulk of my athletic career. And so, it doesn't surprise me that my feet developed in the way that they did.
And this is where, you know, let's now talk about the transition. It's the same idea of progressive overload that we talk about with strengthening and gaining muscle. Like, we're not going to tell you if you haven't been strength training to all of a sudden get under a barbell and lift super heavy weight. Like, that would be irresponsible.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the same as barefoot shoes. You're putting more load if you take off structure, if you take off cushion, if you take off that comfort that you've been used to.
Yeah.
So how can I slowly start to progress into it? It doesn't mean that I'm going to buy barefoot shoes. It's going to heal all of my foot pain magically and that I'm just going to transition right into it. For some, maybe outliers, that could happen. For most, we're going to say that there needs to be a gradual progression.
And this is, we're looking back at your assessment. Okay, where were my restrictions? Am I somebody, we didn't really mention this in depth, am I somebody who has like foot diagnoses that I've been dealing with for a long time? Do I wear orthotics because I have painful arch or plantar fasciitis symptoms or a painful bunion? You know, in those scenarios, we need to take even a more like microscopic approach on, okay, let me get these barefoot shoes, but I'm going to put my orthotics in the shoes and that's going to be where I start. Right. And I'm going to do that for 30 minutes walking around the house. And that's it. And then over the rest of the day, you assess, okay, how do my feet feel after that 30 minutes in the new footwear?
Yeah.
Fine. Okay. Do a 30 minutes the next day. And as you continue to assess, you'll find that sweet spot. Okay, I'm at an hour. I notice my feet feel a little more fatigued. I notice my feet, you know, my pain symptoms might be edging up a little bit. That's where we want to back off to maybe 45 minutes and then wait until that feels okay, 45 minutes a day. And the rule should be you don't progress more than 10% a week.
Right. And I think a really easy place that people can start, if you're already strength training, because it doesn't require a lot of moving around, it's pretty a static activity that you're doing. However, I will say if you're wearing barefoot shoes and you're doing things like lunges that require a lot of toe extension, barefoot shoes are going to require a lot of toe extension as well. But if you're doing squats, deadlifts, if you're doing more
flat foot exercises,
yes, then wearing barefoot shoes during those activities for like that 30 to 45 minutes that you work out, like that could be a good starting point to start to transition into it, because we want to feel the ground anyways. We want those toes to be wide when we're wearing those barefoot shoes to have better feedback into our muscles as we're doing these exercises. So that could be a really good place just to like kick on those shoes, do a workout, and then come out of it and see how you're feeling after.
And I think those are two great examples kind of on each end of the spectrum. If you're somebody who's doesn't have any major foot issues or any relative issues with plantar fasciitis, bunions, foot pains, doing something like putting them on for your workout right away and seeing how you feel could be great. And then the example I had was somebody who might have a more significant foot history with diagnoses or pain. And on top of that, like if you're not somebody who strength trained regularly, just put them on for a walk. Mm-hmm. Put them on when you go to the grocery store. Where you're going to be out for an hour, hour and a half walking around.
Right.
And that can kind of be that first place that you test. And then again, from there, everyone's going to be individual. Not everyone should start with an hour a day. Some people could do 2 or 3 hours a day and feel just fine. If you're somebody who already is barefoot around your house, you know, you're probably not going to have as much of an issue with this. So that initial starting point can be very important in how encouraged or discouraged you feel to continue.
But with that point, like if you are someone who is already more barefoot around the home, that's also a good place to start. Like get more barefoot throughout the day. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to be in shoes. Like
just kick off your slippers.
Kick off your slippers. Walk around your house. Go outside. Walk in the grass. Walk in the sand if you live near a beach. You know, have more experiences for your foot to have that feedback to the ground and starting to build that relationship of being more barefoot and getting into the ground. I think that's a great thing.
And this kind of brings us to like, how long does it take to make a difference? You know, this is kind of a hallmark study that gets quoted all the time now. I like when I was looking at the study, it said they placed Western adults in minimalist footwear for 6 months just during their daily activities. And by Western adults, I'm guessing they meant people in Western countries who were wearing conventional footwear. And those people at the end of the 6 months showed nearly 60% increase in their foot intrinsic strength. And that was based on like toe flexion, essentially, their toe flexion strength compared to traditional footwear. And then they compared that group who had just been doing it for 6 months, their first time ever in minimalist footwear, to what they called experts who were experienced barefoot shoe wearers who had been wearing barefoot shoes for a minimum of 2.5 years. And their foot strength in that toe flexion was already similar to the expert barefoot shoe wearers or experienced barefoot shoe wearers, which is pretty cool to see that just after 6 months, your toe strength increases to the point where it's going to start to plateau and you've already gained the majority of the foot strength that you probably will.
I think that's huge to point out. And, you know, I don't like to say just change one thing and it's going to make all the difference, right? But this is something that's a little more active. So it's not like get the foam roller, get the tool, get the thing. Like you're required to be a little more active.
And it's not a single exercise. Like when we're walking and moving throughout the day, it's not just one repetitive thing. You know, you're moving side to side, you're turning around, you're stepping and pivoting. So essentially you're doing 100 little micro exercises throughout all those activities.
Exactly. And if you're someone who stands a lot for work, so I've been asked, you know, I'm a nurse, I want to wear more barefoot shoes. My recommendation is to bring a change of shoes, like especially when you're starting to get into it, because if you are a job that you're on your feet all day long, it's going to take time. You might want a little bit of support by the end of the
especially
day.
Especially if it you're depends. A nurse who works like 12 or 13 hour shifts.
Right.
Like
it depends.
Going in, you know, all out on a full shift with barefoot shoes could be aggressive.
Right. So bring a change of shoes or leave a change of shoes in your locker or whatever you can do. I don't know if it's lockers.
You have a locker.
Cubby, a something that you can, you know, get back to. And we also, I want to know on that, as you're transitioning into these barefoot shoes, the best case scenario is going to be pairing it with exercise. And that's why, you know, we do have like a barefoot mini course that I always recommend, because especially if you have current pains and aches, or you've had, or you just want to understand how to avoid them in the future, this is where our barefoot mini course takes you through a daily assessment and exercises that can help with that either mobility or strength restriction around the foot and ankle complex. So this is all the way from the toes, all the way up through the calf. What is happening along this complex? And it takes 10 minutes a day, because you guys, I understand we don't have a lot of time, right? So it's 10 minute videos. There's additional downloadable education and things that you can continue to learn from if you choose to, but it's 10 minute videos, it's 2 weeks, and it's gonna give you a ton of information as to where your foot is restricted, where your foot is weak, and what exactly you need to work on that you can be pairing along with these barefoot shoes.
It's like a souped up version of the assessment that we talked about at the beginning, four things you should assess. This gives you like 10 or 12 things that you should assess and the exercises that you should do if you found limitations or restrictions. And, you know, coming to some of the exercises, like you basically want the exercises to mirror the four assessments that we set at the beginning.
Exactly.
Like, okay, if you're limited in toe spreads, then we should be doing toe spreads, both passive and active. You know, weave some socks between your toes, or get a toe splay. Mm-hmm. The Neboso splay is what we use. But if we don't have that, you know, at the ready, weave a sock between your toes. And then after you do that, work on those active toe spreads.
I mean, that alone takes 5 minutes. Like, wear at least 5 minutes at your day, or you're watching a show, like to kick off shoes at the end of the day. When you're sitting on the couch, just weave those socks. And then as soon as you take them out, spread your toes 10 times. It doesn't have to take a lot of time.
Totally. And then calf raises. I mentioned the testing your calf or your ankle range of motion. So doing calf raises, but my suggestion would be do them at an elevated step or something. So you're getting that full deficit and you're working on that ankle mobility that you're going to need when you're now wearing a shoe that has zero heel drop. And then working on the arch.
Yes. And I wanted to do just a quick note on the calf raises, because a lot of people don't do it as effectively as it can be done. So sometimes having a ball between like right underneath the ankle bone, or like a rolled up towel, something that you can kind of hold. And as you're rising up into that heel raise, you want to think about going over the big toe or the ball of the foot. Yeah. And then as you get to the top, you're thinking of those heels almost kissing together, and then slowly lower down all the way into that range that Dom was talking about. When you do it that way, you're going to get 5 reps in and be like, whoa, this is a lot.
Yeah.
Right. But that's where the intention and the longevity of what you're actually creating is going to make a much bigger impact. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And then, of course, arch lifts could be done even just in sitting. Put your foot flat onto the ground. Try to think of pressing your toes down into the ground with toes straight, and then think of pulling the ball of the foot toward the heel. Okay. So again, you're trying not to bend and hammer those toes in or crunch the toes in. You're thinking of keeping that ball of the foot, and then you're lifting. It's almost, I like to tell people, like you're taking the inside of, and you can use your hand, take the inside of that arch and kind of guide it up as you're trying to think of crunching the foot. So using the hand for support can provide some feedback as you're working into that. Hold it for like 5 to 10 seconds. Try it 5 times. That's a good way to kind of
To get a 2-for-1 with that exercise, between each rep, you can also make sure you're fully trying to flatten and bring that foot down into the ground. There's other ways to do that, like rolling 2 small towels and putting one underneath the forefoot and one at the heel, and then working more on really flattening into that pronation, something I should probably do a lot more often.
Well, speaking of what you should be doing, can we talk a little bit about your transition into running? Because you are again, that high, stiff arch, but you now run almost daily in your barefoot shoes, and I haven't heard any complaints about feet pain or anything.
Yeah, I just don't complain a lot, I guess. No, the first time I remember when we initially got barefoot shoes, and I'm not a runner. You know, I was a sprint athlete, football, basketball, baseball. There was rare times I was running more than 100 yards at once. But, you know, I'm like, okay, let's go for a jog. And I jogged maybe not even a half a mile around the apartment complex that we were living in at the time. And I about couldn't even make it up the stairs back to our apartment because my calves were so sore. They were on fire. Ankles were sore. My feet felt like I had put them, you know, through a boxing workout. They felt so beat up. And then I was like, wow, okay, these barefoot shoes. So at that point, I would run in a more conventional shoe. I wouldn't go on runs or jogs in the barefoot shoes. After wearing them for a significant amount of time, I don't really know when the transition happened because I think I just, again, was trying to be intuitive and trying to sense what my body could handle. Mm-hmm. But I liked to go once we got a dog. I loved to go on trail runs with our dog. Anytime we had an opportunity, we were traveling after we got married and there were some areas that had great trails and I would go on a short trail run. And I think it was just a product of having worn the shoe so much more that my foot felt more flexible and I felt like I could take that impact with the more springy foot that I had now and then slowly work my mileage up. And I'm still not a person, like the max I would run at one time, I think it's 4 miles that I've done recently. But yeah, now 3-4 times a week, I try to go out for a quick jog with our dog, get at least 2 miles in, come home, and I don't feel much of an impact. If there's a lot of hills, I might feel a little tightness in my calves, but this is coming from someone who has one of the highest and stiffest arches that I've seen myself, a high stiff arch that shocked an orthopedic doctor looking at my x-ray. So it's just kind of a testament to, yeah, if you have a high or high stiff arch, you don't need a shoe with a lot of cushion. That's one of the benefits you'll notice just from wearing barefoot shoes in general. When you initially start wearing them, you might notice, oh, wow, I feel like my foot strike is so heavy. But our body's smart, and it will start to learn how to take the ground a little more softly. And you'll notice your foot, you might change your cadence without even noticing it, meaning that you might take slightly shorter steps. Your footfall will be a little bit softer. And again, the intuition of our body when we put it in a different environment is pretty incredible that over time, you'll start to know all of those, notice all those changes.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe you're not jumping right into running, you know, Dom wore the shoes for a really long time prior to really getting into longer distances. So ease into it, be smart about it, just like the same as you would with strength training. And one thing I do want to just point out that we've noticed as well is our socks. And this is why Dom is mostly only wearing toe socks now because, and I myself have started to as well. And I feel the difference. Like when you wear, when you go from wearing barefoot wide shoes and then into conventional shoes, you'll feel the difference. And this is kind of the same that thing that's happening with traditional socks that especially like low no-show socks, they're usually small. They're tight. And you notice the difference between just wearing toe socks. And the other great thing about being able to wear something like Vivo Barefoot, there's enough room to put toe splays or toe spacers in and still wear the shoes. So there's many ways to be able to continue to work on the foot and make progress. Of course, I wouldn't recommend wearing toe splays and walking around all day long until you're regularly wearing toe splays at home. But it's just, it's amazing how you can continue to progress. And there are ways that you can help your body from feeling all the different stiffness or weakness that it's feeling based on putting it in a new environment and doing the exercises that are going to help.
And just quick, I mean, we've mentioned a bunch of things like Vivo's Noboso Toe Splays, our Barefoot Mini Course. We'll have special codes and links for those down in the show notes so that you can get a discount if you're interested in trying them out.
Thanks so much for joining us on another episode. I hope that that helped to open your mindset about the transition process and that you don't have to have pain. And of course, if you heard something that you're like, oh, I have a friend or a family member who's been talking about getting into barefoot shoes, pass this episode along, because the worst thing is someone getting into Vivo barefoot shoes, something that we talk about all the time, and all of a sudden they're hating us because they're in pain. So there is a process to this. And of course, if you haven't checked out your Vivo barefoot shoes yet, use code OPTIMAL20, get a discount. Or of course, if our code is changed, we'll have that in the show notes provided.